Time to run.
The Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway, 13.1 edition.
Welcome to another edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway 13.1 edition, episode 3.1, third year of this very cool event, and the first episode of this season. How is everybody, huh? So it's been a while since we've spoken. Sometime shortly before the second edition of this race, back in mid-December. So I thought it was time for us just to get together and catch up a little bit. My training's going pretty well. Although we've hit a nasty, nasty cold spell here in Ohio, I'm not complaining because we've pretty much snuck by with a relatively mild winter so far. This time last week, I was out in mid-40 degree weather in shorts, long sleeve shirt. This week, not so much. In fact, today's Thursday, and I'm out on a very chilly day, only because I've been on the treadmill for the last 2 days in a row. When I left the house today at about 9:30 in the morning, it was 15 degrees. But the real feel was 17. Now, I, of course, am no meteorologist, but I can't figure out how it can feel warmer than it is. I think it's rather intuitive when the wind is blowing and they tell you, you know, give you this chill factor, this wind chill factor, or the real feel is colder than it really is. That makes sense, but I guess I just can't figure out the deal behind feeling warmer than it is. Oh well, that's my long-winded way of saying it's chilly this week, but I know that goofy groundhog did not see his shadow. So, obviously, spring will be here before long. My training's going okay, although I really don't have anything to train for, once again, other than way out there in December. I joined a gym near my office, as some of you may know already, so at least during those weeks when it's nice and warm, my mileage has been up there. For me, let's see, I think last week I hit very close to 30 miles, which, you know, for the last couple years, I've not done very often. It's just been pretty amazing to be able to get out at lunch and run some different routes. That is a real boost to the mojo, don't you think? Running in nice areas where you really have never been before just to discover what's around. So how's your training been going? I chat with some of you on Facebook and text. Sounds like everybody's doing well. So like I said, I thought it was time that we all get together and track down our favorite running coach, Mr. Jeff Galloway. Figure out what he's been up to. Maybe a little bit about where he's going in case he's going to be anywhere close to you all. I love seeing all your pictures on Facebook when you attend one of Jeff's events. Of course, I get jealous, but it's pretty cool the reach that guy has, don't you think? And listen, before I forget, anytime you happen to be at an event with Jeff, make sure you tell him you listen to this podcast. And especially that Kevin says hi. Huh? So we're going to track Jeff down, figure out where he's been, where he's headed. Unless you think it's a little too early to start thinking about or speaking about the third annual Jeff Galloway 13.1 this December. Well, let me tell you this. We have a teeny bit of news that's still relevant for last year's 13.1 that you'll hear about. Also, I wanted to ask Jeff, although we've done it in the past, it's been a while, to talk a little bit about my favorite Galloway book, which is Running Until You're 100. And probably my favorite because that is pretty much my only goal anymore. My PRs are gone. I just want to have fun at this amazing sport that's become part of my life. And I want to do it pretty much forever. But I'll settle for until I'm 100. So we'll chat a little bit about that book. And lastly, I put out a request on a few Facebook pages, Slow Runners Club and also the Run Junkies Facebook page, about any questions you might have for Jeff. So I'm going to ask Jeff a few questions that I got from those spots. But let me apologize in advance. I probably got 20 to 25 questions sent to me. And although some of them were very similar, so that's okay, I just was not able to ask Jeff all of them. So if you sent me a question and you don't hear it today, sorry. I just, you know, this podcast would have gone for 2 to 3 hours. You know, Jeff will take as much time as it takes to answer the question fully. So, you know, you're not going to get a 30-second answer out of Jeff, which is great, but, you know, it just doesn't allow us the time to ask all of them. So he will answer a few, and it's all good stuff. I think you'll enjoy it. So check it out, and we'll chat a little bit at the end. You'll enjoy your extra mile.
Well, here we go, back with the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway 13.1 edition. It's been a while since we've spoken to Mr. Galloway, and we caught him today. Where, Jeff? Where are you?
Kevin, I'm actually in my hometown of Atlanta, Georgia, and it's a beautiful, chilly day here, and I just got in a little run. My mind is buzzing, and that's a very good thing.
Nice. So define chilly for me.
Chilly right now is about 47 degrees here.
Gotcha. It's chilly, but that sounds like pretty good running weather, huh?
It's, I mean, once you're great out. Running weather. For doing errands and stuff, us folks in the South are wimps when it comes to that temperature. And I totally will admit that, and I'm somewhat proud to be a wimp.
Embrace that, yeah. Well, I went out for my run about an hour ago, and we had these snowflakes. It's kind of wet, but they were the size of they were size of quarters, and
but real
fluffy, and it was, but it was a lot of fun. There was nothing on the ground. It was more rainy, wet stuff on the ground, but it was just a lot of fun. You know, they hit your eyelashes, and you can't see for a minute, and but it was a lot of fun.
I have definitely run in that, you know, having gone to college in Connecticut and then run in a number of races at that time of year. I remember one in particular up in Buffalo. Those big snowflakes started coming down right just immediately before the start of the race, and during the first 6 miles of that race, they were plastering my head, and I stupidly did not have a hat on at the time, and I got a headache. I have to tell you, the headache lasted for about half an hour.
It was like your own little Chinese water torture, huh? Just
that's what it was.
So, Jeff, it's been a while since we spoke. I think it was right before the Jeff Galloway 13.1, the second annual, back in December. And I wanted to catch up very briefly on some of the neat things it sounds like you've been doing lately. And I don't know whether this is typical, but it sure seems like you've been busier than normal in this last month of January. Is that true?
This has been probably the busiest January in history, in my history. Certainly has been the most travel intense. I was gone for about 27 days nonstop in January to Disney events, Missoula, Boise, Healdsburg, California, and a retreat in Carmel. It was wonderful stuff, absolutely wonderful. And, you know, it causes me, when you're away from home that long, it causes me to reflect on what it is that I'm doing and why I love doing this so much. And what it boils down to is, from the time that I started this business back in 1973, it was my desire to help people improve the quality of their lives through running. And this is what people tell me, and so many people were totally unrunners and thought that they would never be able to run. And once they use the right run, walk, run, it has totally changed their brain and changed their life. And this is just wonderful stuff. So I probably will not be on the road ever for 27 days in a row again, but it was a great trip.
Well, let's hit some of the highlights, and if I leave something out, please correct me. But at the first of the year was of course the Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. How did that go this year?
Well, it was truly the most energetic expo and full weekend, and I think it's sort of the culmination of so many things that Disney has done at this event. It's their largest event. They keep adding little things, little tweaks to it to bring in people from different demographics and so forth. And it just was a wonderful weekend celebrating the fitness that we love so much and celebrating the Disney characters. What happened there is really the same thing that I experience when I go to other events. I'm at the expo most or all the time that the expo's open. And in the case of Disney, it was 8 to 10 hours a day, nonstop. There was one day that I wasn't even able to get anything to eat or to go to the potty. Unfortunately, I didn't drink too much that day. But it was fabulous stuff. During that whole period of 4 days of expos in a row, there was never a time when there was a break. There was always three or four people minimum just waiting to talk. And almost all of them were so grateful for the method and how it had changed their lives. And these are just wonderful stories. They touch your heart. They really inspire you. And people that have lost 100 pounds, 150 pounds, people who have had totally degenerative situations in their lives and have turned it around, and running has been the catalyst to do that. And, you know, those of us who have been running for a long time have seen people like this, but to to experience this person after person after person all day long, you come away at the end of the day quite tired, but just exhilarated.
Yeah. So from a personal standpoint, which of those races did you participate in?
All of the above.
Which one, Dopey?
The Dopey. The Goofy was established 12 years ago, I guess, maybe 13. And I guess maybe it was 13. It was to give a special medal, a third medal, for those that run the half on Saturday and then the full on Sunday. And I had never done the Goofy, per se. Over 10 years, I had not done it. But I had trained a number of people to do it, and I had given advice at the expos as to how to pace yourselves. And, you know, it was good advice, and it worked and everything, but I was really beginning to feel guilty because I really had never done it myself. And
yeah.
Being a coach, I know that you can coach people to do things that you haven't done if you've got enough experience. But when they opened the Dopey, I signed up right away, and I thought it was going to be a one and done, but that never happened. I'm a perfectly Dopey person with three in a row now, and plan to do it again. The Dopey is a 5K on Thursday, a 10K on Friday, a half on Saturday, and a full on Sunday, and the medal haul is six medals because you get a medal for each event, and then you get the Goofy medal for half and full. And then if you do all four of them, you get an additional Dopey medal with that big, shiny Dopey looking at you when you see it. And as is the case in most of those Disney medals, they are creative. I love them.
I saw a picture on Facebook after that race of you and Barbara, and I think both of the boys ran at least some of the races, didn't they?
They did. Actually, Brennan and Weston and Brennan's wife, Jenny, ran the half. That was their race. But they are the competitive ones. They're the competitive generation in the Galloway family, and we're very proud of them. Brennan finished second overall, and Jenny finished fourth overall.
My goodness. I think it was just you and Barbara and the boys on there, I think I commented on your Facebook page. Look at the old man with all the bling. You know, they had like one. I don't know how you can stand up with all that metal around your neck.
Well, I have to do some weight training, not do it that way?
So right after that, I think the following week or shortly after that, you headed out to the West Coast for the Disneyland Star Wars half, didn't you?
Well, there was an event in between. The Disney folks, Run Disney folks, put on a cruise, a Run Disney cruise.
Yes.
And it was on the Disney Dream, which is one of their cruise ships. And it was fabulous. Barbara and I did not have to wait long at all to make that decision. And sure enough, it was a combination of being really nice and relaxing, along with a lot of entertainment things. And Barbara and I travel so much, and our schedules are so busy going into the night that we very seldom even go to a movie. But we were able to go to movies and to see some of the live shows that they had there. And it was just a delightful experience, along with talking to the runners. There were quite a few runners on board ship, and we would constantly run into them and compare notes and solve some problems, and it was a good time. But then after that one, we flew immediately out to the Star Wars half in Disneyland, and that was a condensed weekend because we got in late, because of the cruise, we got in late on Friday night and just had one day at the expo and then the race on Sunday.
How did that race go?
It was really good. After the Dopey and during the cruise, there was a 5K halfway through the cruise on the island that Disney has leased from the Bahamian government, Castaway K. So we ran that one, of course, and quite honestly, I wasn't feeling as peppy as I usually do. Barb thought that I was just running way too slow, so she picked up the pace, and I bade her farewell in a good way. And so I didn't know how my legs were going to feel, you know, going the dopey, but they felt much, much better than I think I've ever felt 1 week after any race. So I had a complete rebound by the following Sunday after the dopey.
Well, I'm not sure I'd been walking at that point, but so good on you. One of these days, maybe later in the fall, as we're talking about the Jeff Galloway 13.1, we'll get in some more detail about how to train for that dopey, because that's got to be a pretty specific kind of thing to do, too.
Well, it is, and I have to tell you that most of the people that I meet who have gone through the journey of the dopey or are going through it are not the highly conditioned veterans that you would expect to be attracted to this. Most of them are relative newcomers to the running experience within the last 2 years or so in most cases. And they do it, and they don't have any problems, and I've tried to analyze why this is so, and I think that the main reason is that because they're relatively new to this endurance thing, they're somewhat scared to death of an event like that, and so they actually followed my advice. They actually do the training. And veterans are more likely to slough off in various things, but the newbies don't, and as a result, they tend to have a great experience and recover quite fast.
That's funny, and it makes total sense to me. I know exactly what you're saying. So let's jump to this past weekend. You and Barbara went to a race that I think is new for you. I had not seen it before.
Yes, it is the Publix Florida Marathon, and it's out of Melbourne, Florida, which is in the same general area as the Space Coast Marathon, which is one of my favorites. But the course is a different course. It's just south of the Space Coast course. Florida Publix Marathon there in Melbourne follows a course along the Indian River, which makes it really a scenic course. The challenge this year was the wind. There was a strong headwind coming in the last 2 miles, and you had to run into the bridge, run over a bridge into the wind, and it was 20 to 30 knots. It was significant. And the good news, though, was that over half the course was run with a tailwind. And
nice.
So we mostly got tailwind, and I have to tell you that challenge at the end was one that gave you a real dose of reality, because the weather was changing. It was getting colder too, and then we had this wonderful celebration at the finish. This race is not a huge race. It's certainly of moderate size, but it was never crowded. There really weren't any places that I would say you really were squoze up that much at all. And so you could really talk to people, and you could also try to find somebody in the headwind area that was bigger than you are. And that... that always helps, but it goes through some very nice suburban areas. As I say, follows closely along the Indian River, which is a beautiful area there, and ends up in a park. And they had a number of nice refreshment items afterwards. The traditional beer tent and for adults, and then they had a really nice chicken snack that was given out by Pollo Loco stores there, and some other stuff that Publix had, fruit and some other items there. So it really was, it reminded me of the old days in that it was never crowded, but there were a lot of people around and people that you had seen at a lot of other races. But at the same time, it had more refreshments and things than you
right.
normally see. So it's a nice event, and I strongly recommend it, and I'll be back there next year, and I'm really looking
good.
Forward to seeing more people.
Well, good. So two thumbs up to the Publix Florida Marathon, right?
Yes.
Good. Well, let's jump ahead a little bit and figure out where you're going to be in case some of our listeners are going to be in the area, and you've got something pretty special coming up just this weekend, right?
Very special. It is one of the races that I love more than any others. Of course, I do love the Jeff Galloway 13.1, but equally so, the Donna and the Marathon to Finish Breast Cancer in Jacksonville, Florida. I have been proud to have helped Donna, a four-time breast cancer survivor, put on this event so that almost every penny the entry fee goes to the research on breast cancer at Mayo Clinic. And they have produced some significant findings as a result of the funds generated by this event. But it really impacts so many people around the U.S. because of the outreach that is done through the event. And there's so many people in our country and around the world who are really adamant on trying to find ways to get rid of all cancers. And that's really what the mission of this event is. And you feel so good running this event because you are thanked by so many people that are either going through the cancer process or they have relatives, and they're thanking you for helping in this process. Millions of dollars every year. And then you have the folks in the race itself that inspire you the most, and those are the ones that are running while they're going through breast cancer treatment. It's just, you know, so hard to come up with an excuse on a day, oh, well, I just don't feel like running today, when you know those folks are out there training for this event. So it's you know, in most running events, we pull one another along. But the 26.2 or 13.1 with Donna and the 5K the day before, you see and hear stories that you don't hear anywhere else.
That is one of the races that's on my bucket list, and that's the thing that everybody says, that statement right there about just like no other race, the stories you hear and the inspiration you get from that. Before I get off of that race, just real quick, if the weathermen know anything this far out, which maybe they don't, I don't know, but it's predicted to be a tad maybe for some people who maybe are not used to running in the chilly weather. Maybe a little chilly for them, maybe a low of like about 35 and a high of about 50. What's your, just for them, so let's assume for a second it's an early morning race. Let's say it's 35 to 38 at the start. What's your advice for people as far as dressing for weather like that?
Well, not only for Donna, but for all of the listeners who are coping with cold weather conditions like that. And, of course, pardon me, you folks from Canada and Alaska, where the conditions are much colder than that. I've got an e-coach client from Wisconsin, and I made some comment about how cold it was when it dipped down to 42 degrees, and she said, oh, that's balmy weather up here. And it is.
All
it's all relative. But first of all, when it comes to adverse weather conditions that are 6 days or 5 days out, they very seldom occur the way that they're predicted. There is usually a significant change either in the starting temperature or the finish temperature. So I just don't worry about adverse weather conditions predictions until you get about 2 days out, and even 1 day out is when you can really plan. But those who are traveling to an event when it's predicted to be cold should definitely pack their cold weather gear, because and you should pack some warm weather gear too if you're going to a race in Florida. And so the concept in preparation is layering. You want to have a garment next to your skin that will tend to keep the body heat in and keep you comfortable. And then over that initial garment, you want to have what I suggest is a long sleeve garment that you could peel off if you get warm and tie it around your waist in case it gets cold later on, because that often happens on a cold day, especially after a race. And then you could, if it's cold waiting for the start, you could have a garment that you got at a thrift store or something, even a sweatshirt to keep you warm before the start of the event. And if whether precipitation is predicted or could be evident, it's always best to be prepared for that. There are two things you can do. You can either have a poncho, just a regular inexpensive poncho, or a garbage bag. And actually, the garbage bag works just as well. You just poke out a hole for your head and holes for your arms, and it not only tends to keep the precipitation off, but it will also keep you warm. It keeps the body heat in, even more so than most ponchos do. So it's a good, dirty little trick that we use a lot in the South. And then a hat. A hat is really important on a cold day, because you lose about 75% of the body heat you can lose through the top of your head. And in order to contain body heat best, you want to have a hat. And if you start to overheat at any time, of course, you take the hat off. But and it's also a great thing to have a hat is when there's precipitation, because it's going to keep the top of your head relatively dry and the heat in. So it's something that we want to recommend.
Perfect. So the last thing I want to talk about before we get into the meat of this, as far as your travel goes, if you don't mind, is the Princess Half Marathon that you'll be going to in right after the Don, actually, in mid-February, the 21st, I think.
Yes, it's one of my top two Disney races, and I like the Wine and Dine, not only because I like to wine and dine, but I like it because I like running at night, and it is a race that starts at 10 p.m., and it has a special feel to it that weekend. And the other race that I like is Princess. It's mostly a women's race. They let a few of us men join in, and I'm very thankful. But because it is mostly a women's race, you see more costumes, and especially more elaborate costumes. I mean, you will see all types of Snow Whites and other characters that go through Disney productions, and they fall into a number of categories. First, the very authentic and detailed. And then the other one is they just make you smile or laugh. And you're entertained by your fellow runners all the way through. And you start up conversations. But throughout the weekend at the expo, the most exciting part for me is to see growing numbers of relatives or friends that are pulled in by a woman who decides to do this. And there's a lot of women that come together as a girls' weekend away. And the girls might be in their 50s, 60s, and some in their 70s. But it's so neat to see this. And they have a good time. They're doing something. Several of them usually are doing this 13.1 for the first time in their lives. And they're excited. They are exhilarated at the finish. You can read the looks on their faces as they finish. I was out there last year for this, and I stayed until the last person came across the finish line. I was right there at the finish line. And it's just a wonderful series of stories that you can read in people's faces as they cross that finish line and get that empowerment. So, yeah, I highly endorse that event. It's hard to get into, but if you'll really put the date on your calendar when they open the registration, just keep clicking.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Unfortunately, at this late date, there's a 5K, a 10K, a half, and then, of course, the Glass Slipper Challenge, even a kids' race, but they're all sold out. But the good news is if you're going to be in the Disney area at all for that time period is the Expo's got plenty of room. And so that's on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and it's free, and Jeff Galloway will be at the Expo, right?
Yes, and this year I'm told that the booth next to our booth, our Jeff Galloway booth, will be the BFF massage tool booth.
Ah.
And so many people get introduced to that product at the expos, like the Disney ones, and you can demo it. You can try it out right there on the spot. It's an amazing tool. It's like having your own massage therapist 24/7. It's quite an amazing thing.
Very good. So listen, you and I have not spoken since the second annual Jeff Galloway 13.1. So give me your brief thoughts on how, in your opinion, how the second annual race went, especially compared to the first year. Are there any differences you saw, pluses, minuses?
Well, the first year of any event, even the most experienced race director knows that you will discover some things the first time through that you hadn't quite anticipated. And the main reason is that road races are not only a never-ending stream of details that change from day to day due to street closures and other things that are going on that you don't have any control over, but you also have weather conditions, and you don't know how certain intersections are going to handle certain weather conditions. But I have to say that the first, our first production of it was pretty flawless as far as first productions go. But the second one, we just have fine-tuned it a little bit more, and we still had a couple of glitches that we're working on, but they were few and far between, and we really believe that we're going to get it those things put to bed by next time. The overriding theme of the weekend there throughout the whole expo is to find the fun and the joy in training for and then completing an endurance event, turning on the brain circuits to explain this process through the expo clinics, and then to share that combined experience of our running tribe coming together at one place at one time and being able to celebrate our ability to empower ourselves. It's very well known that running changes your brain, and we see this in these statements people make to us all day long, every day of the year. But having an endurance event changes things even more, and it really triggers inside people's psyche the empowerment circuit of the brain and the human organism that then starts looking for other things that they can change to make life more meaningful. So it really is a great weekend, and I really hope you can come and join us. It'll be December 11th for the 13.1, December 10th for Barb's 5K, and then the expo will be open Friday and Saturday. So come and join us in Atlanta, but you can also do the virtual and be part of our tribe if you can't come.
Well before we leave the year 2015, I think it's fair to bring up the fact also that if you still want the bling and still want to enter the somehow, we're going to turn the clock back to the second annual Jeff Galloway 13.1. You can still get into the virtual for last year's race. Run the virtual all the way up to March the 21st, I'm told.
Yes, that is absolutely right. We have had so many requests from people that due to family, career, you name it, they weren't able to come to Atlanta, and we want them to be a part of it. So we are extending the deadline for our virtual 2015 to March 21st, 2016. So you've got an opportunity to still do that. And basically all you have to do is run another 13.1 in a race or training run, turn in the results to us after you enter our virtual version, and then we send you the T-shirt and the medal. And the medal has gotten really rave reviews. The T-shirt, I didn't think we were going to beat our first year's T-shirt design, but most people tell me that they love the second one at least as much as the first year's.
Yep, yep, I like it too. There's no billboard on the back, and the front is a kind of a cute little map of the route, of the Atlanta route. So that's
it. Does it goes through some of the landmarks. And by the way, one of the great things that we are very proud of about our Jeff Galloway 13.1 is that it goes adjacent to or right by some of the major historical landmarks in Atlanta. One of them is Margaret Mitchell's house, where she wrote Gone with the Wind. And the Martin Luther King Center goes right by there. It goes around the Jimmy Carter Library and through several historic parts of town, including our Beltline, which is our old trolley line system that circled the city. But it really brings together what we feel are the best routings in Atlanta. So I really hope you can join us some year, even if you're perfect with the virtual, and you will
Great.
Be allowed to maintain your streak doing the virtual.
Perfect. So let's change direction and talk about what I've read six or seven of your books, and my favorite so far. You're in the 20s, aren't you? 25 books. How many have you read?
It's actually, it will be 30 as of next month.
Well, it's funny you say that, because one of the questions I've got from Melissa, our good friend Jane, maybe I should just ask you now. She's asking what the topic is of your next book. What can you fill us in?
Well, the book that is coming out in March is a revision of the mental training book, and it is significantly new. It has a lot of the new brain research stuff, and explains these amazing mental benefits more so than the first book. And
nice.
And then it gets into the way that you can train yourself to be motivated in several better ways. So anyway, I'm very excited about it,
Perfect.
And I just have already gotten a few preview copies that I've sent out to key people, and they have told me this is better.
Good for you. Very good. We'll look forward to that. So what I was going to say is my favorite book that I've read of yours so far is Running Until You're 100, and maybe that's just because each year I get a little closer to 100, so it hits home a little more for me. But I just like the whole idea of that book. And before we get into the guts of that book, I want to ask you a little bit. You talked earlier when we were speaking about the Donna 26.2 about some of the stories that quote unquote touch your heart. The dedication of this book, this particular
Yes.
book, touched my heart. Can you tell us a little bit about the dedication of that book?
Well, when I first got the assignment for Running Until You're 100, I had just lost my mom, and my mom had cancer. She actually had lung cancer, although she had never smoked before in her whole life, and she had kept it away for a number of years through healthy lifestyle, and she continued to exercise and had a pretty high quality of life, but it steadily worked its way near her heart, and they could not operate. And I had plenty of warning that she was going to pass away, but I was amazed at how hard it was when this actually happened. She was a wonderful person, and she had a certain determination that was really incredible. And when I thought about who would I want to dedicate this book to, it had to be my wonderful mother, Kitty. And the story that I tell is a story that that continues to inspire me to this day. The last 4 years of her life, just about a year before, she was diagnosed with this cancer, lung cancer, and she had already signed up for the Peachtree Road Race. And I would come over there to see her whenever I could, usually once a week because of my travels, but sometimes more often. And I made it a point to say that, you know, she had no business trying to train for the Peachtree Road Race at her age of 82 and with this condition. And she said, well, we'll see. And she secretly would go out and walk and build her endurance up. But she did have some issues because of the cancer. And so she really didn't get in the training that she usually did in order to prepare for Peachtree. But she was bound and determined to be out there. So she got a friend to go with her. And they made it to the big challenge on the Peachtree course. It was what's called Cardiac Hill. It goes up Piedmont Hospital and their cardiac unit up there. And she got up near the top of that hill, and she was spent. I mean, she didn't have the energy to take another step. So she just sat down on the curb. And the remaining stragglers that were behind her passed by, and then finally the street sweeper came up. And this street sweeper is called the Grim Sweeper because that is the symbol when it passes you that your race is over, and they're going to open the road back up. So this street sweeper comes up to where she sees her sitting on the curb. So the driver goes over, and he's waving her to go on. And so my mom waves the truck to go on, and the driver sticks his head out and says, no, ma'am, I'm not going until you get going and get in ahead of me. Oh. And so she gets mad, and she decides to get even by doing that. So she jumps up, and she struts her way the remaining 2.5 miles. And she, I never will forget seeing her coming across that finish line as the very last person with her head held high and that pride that she instilled us in with, just beaming. And I am inspired by her every single day.
Oh, that's an amazing story. Thanks for sharing that with us today, Jeff.
Well, she was an amazing woman, and I can't say enough good things about her.
So, about this book, Running Until You're 100. First of all, let me question you on the title itself. Should we even be running until we're 100? What does science say about that?
Well, before I wrote this book, I did a good bit of research because at the time of the writing of this book, about eight years ago, there really was not a lot of research that had been published or at least compiled about running and longevity and running and joint health and a number of key issues that I get asked about all the time. So the last thing I wanted to do is lead people astray and say, oh, you can run, you're not going to destroy your joints. Or at least the research says this, that, and the other. I wasn't going to say that unless I had something to back it up. So I went to some friends of mine at the CDC in Atlanta who are in that area of geriatric medicine, particularly in terms of joints and longevity and these types of key areas there. And surprisingly, after getting access to the data, database on research, there's not a single study that shows that running is harmful to your joints. And quite a few studies now showing that runners have much healthier joints than non-runners as the years go by. And so I cite those studies in the book, and this is mainly designed to counter what is out there as misleading and erroneous opinions that people have about how running is going to destroy your joints. And I will say, and I do have a lot of cautionary items in there that mainly go about they go with the findings that I have from doctors and also from individuals over the age of 60, 70, 80 who have continued to run a lot. And that is that it's the nonstop running that can be a deal killer. But if you have the right run, walk, run for the individual, there is a great opportunity to be able to continue running until you're 100. And one of the great assets in the database showed that exercise statistically extends your lifespan. And this research goes back into the 50s, has tens of millions of subjects in the studies from all over the world. And what the studies show very clearly, for every hour you exercise, you extend your lifespan by at least 2 hours. So you've got a great return on investment there. But even more than that, the research shows that those who continue to exercise regularly tend to have quality of life all the way to the end of their life. And I think this is the major issue here. It's one thing to live until you're 100 because there are a lot of people we see who are invalids and other things, and they end up living a long time, but they just don't have much quality of life. But if you can stay active through exercise, you turn on circuits throughout your body that keep things working and that allow you to think more clearly at any age. One of the most exciting areas of research shows that endurance aerobic activity at any age, and I'm talking about 80s, 90s, 100, stimulates the growth of new brain cells. This is particularly good for those of us that may have destroyed some earlier in our lives. But it certainly is current research, ongoing research, and it gives us hope in being able to stay sharp and enjoy our families, enjoy our life, and keep moving. The research on joint health is quite clear. The best way to destroy your joints is to not move them, to be sedentary, but to be regular with your movements throughout the day, and particularly in running, it causes your body to keep adapting to the motion that you do. So anyway, this is what this book is all about, giving you ideas and specific patterns of exercise and also nutritional advice to adapt to the changing needs that you may have as you get older.
I used to think that you had some special formula for running until you were 100, such as, you know, between the ages of 40 and 50, you should run, you know, every other day, and then at 50, cut it back to 3 days a week. But that's not true, is it?
Well, it's not, but there are some misconceptions. I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin, because what I have in my book are a table that has recommendations based on the decades of running, just as you suggest, 40s, 50s, 60s. But the recommended days per week, which in the 50s would be 3 days a week, is only for those that are having problems. Maybe they have flares up of arthritis or whatever. And there's a growing number of people and also some studies showing that as people continue to run more often than 3 days a week, that they actually see fewer symptoms of a lot of these issues. But again, I must caution, nonstop running is the leading cause that I see of deterioration and damage as people get older. And once you put the right run, walk, run, you can really facilitate a lot of improvements without having the bad stuff come on.
Right, right. So perfect. I will put a link in today's show notes about where you can get that book from Jeff's website that also comes with an autograph in the front. I've got two of these books, actually, and they both have your autograph in the front of it.
Good well, stuff. I'm pleased that that we have this association and wanting to run until we're 100, Kevin.
Absolutely.
It's only one of the things we share in common.
Exactly. Do you mind answering a couple of questions from some listeners today, Jeff?
Love it.
Before we let
Love
you go?
It.
So I put out a note on Facebook on a couple of on our webpage that we have for this podcast, also on a couple of other running websites, Facebook sites, Run Junkies. Isn't that a great name for a website, by
it
the way?
It is, and of course, Junkies. You and I both meet a lot of those.
Exactly, yes.
And there are worse things to be addicted to, though.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And also the Slow Runners Club. That's another great name, isn't it?
It sure is.
And I got a ton, and I feel a little guilty because we'd be here all day long answering these questions. But that's why we start these things off by telling people where you're going to be and other ways to get in touch with you. So I do want to go over maybe a couple of them. The first one I got was from Sheila. She wants to ask you a question about running shoes. Since you know so much about running and about shoes, is there any truth to the rumor that she's heard that you shouldn't walk in running shoes? She's had different people tell her over the years, but of course that makes run, walk, run impossible.
There is, I mean, if you look at the extreme, in other words, someone who walks all day long, let's say that they're a mail carrier, then works for the postal system, then maybe you don't want to use the same shoe that you're using all day long covering 10 miles walking for running. But other than that, to use a running shoe for a walk around the mall is normally not a deal killer for that running shoe. The pounding that occurs in running, especially for those that have a few more pounds on their body, is the thing that will break down running shoes more. But walking is generally a lot more gentle. One other exception to that in terms of walking may cause problems. There are some individuals, a small percentage of runners, that hit very strongly on the outside of their heel. And so those individuals could shear off the heel when walking, and therefore it would cause more of a shift of the foot to the outside, which could cause an irregular motion when they run. So for those relatively small percentage of runners who are in those categories, the rest of the runners could really run and walk in their shoes.
Very good, very good. Roxanne says that she uses the Galloway method and uses specifically a 30-15 ratio for her short runs, and then she goes to a 30-30 for her long runs. And she just finished two half marathons, and now she'd like to improve her running times just a little bit. So she'd like to know, is it better to increase the running time in those intervals or keep the same intervals and just work on faster turnover, faster speed?
Well, what I'm going to give you is what I have heard back from more than 400,000 people who have used my method over the last 42 years. And that is that it's generally better to take a more gentle approach on the long run. So, in other words, it would be better to do a run 15, walk 30 on long runs. And then if you wanted to do equal amounts, then during a race or a short run, you could do 30-30, 20-20, or 15-15. Now, to get faster, it becomes more complicated. The leading ways of becoming faster, even if you don't change your run, walk, run at all, are to have a longer, long one within 2 to 3 weeks before your race. To do some of the speed repetitions that you will see in my books, like Women's Guide to the Half Marathon or Half Marathon or Galloway Training Programs, and those are half-mile repetitions that can build up there. And in the process of doing those half-mile repetitions, you can fiddle with the amount of running, amount of walking, and get used to a little bit more running and a little bit less walking. In the long run, that will help, although trying to increase the amount that you're running on every single run is not a good idea because it'll tend to keep you really tired so that you go into the race tired. So if you will look through one of those books, Women's Guide to Half Marathon, Half Marathon, or Galloway Training Programs, you can really get a more clear idea as to how to put together the components to go faster. But for now, my recommendation is to stay with your run 15, walk 30 on long runs, and then try other configurations during the short runs. And you certainly could experiment with more running and less walking on the short runs, and you could actually get used to doing that.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Trisha says that she saw somewhere recently in a running magazine that you said running 3 days a week could keep you as fit as more runs per week if you're just the average runner, not a non-elite. You also said that you could incorporate 2 runs per day. So she'd like to know how you could do this amount of miles and stay safe for someone who has run several marathons already. She's getting the feeling like she needs more and more rest between those long runs.
It really depends on a lot of individual issues, but the single greatest shock absorber in running that I have found has been the adjustment of the run-walk-run amounts. For example, just this past weekend, I talked to a number of folks that were using a fairly standard strategy that they got from one of my older books, and that was to run 3 minutes and walk 1 minute. Well, during the last few years, we have shifted away from 1 minute of walking and have gone for the 3-1 ratio to 90 seconds running and 30 seconds walking. And one individual actually cornered me after the race, who this person had been using a 3-1 and had been slowing down somewhat at the end. So they decided to go ahead and try it, based on my advice at the expo, to try the 90-30, and didn't slow down and improved their PR significantly. I think that it was 6 minutes faster. Wow. And the only change was they were using a 3-1 ratio. They just didn't run for 3 minutes. And the 3 minutes of running, for example, as opposed to 90 seconds, there's just a whole lot more fatigue that goes on the legs when you do that. And 90, we found that 30 seconds of walking has been the maximum to restore the muscles. And when you walk longer than that, you actually slow down during the second half of the race. So those would be my recommendations. And if you want more information, my Run, Walk, Run book really gets into a lot of these details. And then you can see other things on the ratios at jeffgalloway.com.
Perfect. And lastly, kind of a little sarcastic remark from my girlfriend Suzanne, who says, please ask Jeff to ask you, meaning you're supposed to ask me now, Jeff, why I don't come run the Iron Horse with you and her in Midway, Kentucky.
Okay, Kevin, why don't you come up and run our fantastic Iron Horse in Kentucky?
I don't know. I don't have a good reason. I'd have given it to her. It's a good race, though.
It's a good race. It's a great regional race, actually. And it's in just beautiful horse country, and it just warm, friendly friendships that you will generate that weekend. Kentucky is just a great place to run and to be, and I highly recommend it. It's in October.
Very good. Yeah, I looked it up just for the heck of it. October the 16th this year, so we'll see. It's not very far from me, so I don't have a lot of good excuses. I don't have any
well,
good excuses.
Well, anyway,
really, so.
you'll just have to go.
You're right. Well, listen, that's all I got for you today, Jeff. I appreciate all the time. And I guess in our next episode, maybe we'll get a little bit more detail about any changes, any additions, or anything we need to know about the upcoming Jeff Galloway 13.1, the third annual already, for crying out loud.
Sounds great. We are working on that stuff now, and we'll have some stuff for you by the time the next podcast goes out.
Perfect. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it, as always. And you have a great time this weekend, and please make sure you tell Donna that we said hello.
Well, I sure will, Kevin, and you keep doing the wonderful job that you're doing.
Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So there you go, episode 3.1 of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway 13.1 edition. Good stuff, huh? So, let me recap. If you still are interested in running the second edition of the Jeff Galloway 13.1, you can still enter into the virtual for last year, right? For only $49 at the website. I'll put that in the show notes, by the way. And sometime in April, after the deadline for last year, which, by the way, is March 21st, you got to enter and run that thing by March 21st. But sometime in April, they'll open up the registration for the virtual race for this year. And right now, you can enter for the half marathon until May the 1st. The price is $95. You can also enter the Barb 5K, and that race until May the 1st. It's only $27. Not bad, huh? Although it is a tad early to get into too many of the details for the third edition of the 13.1. I can promise you, it doesn't mean there's not a lot of work going on. I think any day, Jeff's team will announce the official race hotels along with their race weekend discounts, which are pretty significant. Now, I have no idea which ones are on there, but I'm certainly hoping that the hotel, the Regency Suites that I stayed at for the last couple years, is on there, because that's a perfect hotel for this race, and it's the one that, as we get closer, I'll be begging you all to stay at. It just makes it much more convenient for all the good times we'll have over that weekend if we're all staying at the same spot, or at least very close hotels. What else? Well, there's also three or four other exciting ideas, changes, and additions to last year's race that are being discussed. One of them, I hope, will involve this podcast. And if it involves this podcast, by definition, it will involve you guys. So hang in for more details about that. So that's all I've got for today. Thanks for the download. Thanks for spending the last hour plus of your lives with us. And we'll get back together as soon as we have something else to talk about, huh? Check out the Facebook page. Get involved. And don't forget to order your Squish Bands, the sponsor of this show. All the good stuff for today's show is going to be on our website. And so check out those show notes. That's all I got. Until next time, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition. Please visit our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at thegallowayextramile@gmail.com. If you would like to send us your audio comments about the show or have questions about Run, Walk, Run, please send an audio file to thegallowayextramile@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Galloway Edition. Boys,